For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised.
You know, once you appoint yourself an arbiter of what's true and what's not true, then there's really no end to the power that you have now assumed for yourself.
And ladies and gentlemen, the best is yet to come.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of the Jeff Dornick Show. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, as always, make sure that you guys are subscribing on Rumble, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, the three best places to find us right now. So those, you can do all that as well. Two things really quick before I bring on our guest. Number one, make sure you guys are going over to pickaxe.com, P-I-C-K-A-X.com. That's our new social media platform that we're building. Launching quarter one of 2024. If you guys are signing up now, you guys will be a part of our beta launch. So that way you guys will be on there as the very first people over there. Again, we're not going to be beholden to big tech in any way. Give me completely constitutionally free speech, algorithms that work on your behalf, and monetization opportunities for content creators. So that's pickaxe.com. Sign up today. And then as well, because you don't know what's happening, especially with all the craziness, and we'll be talking about that today a little bit, but you always need to be prepared. And that's why I always recommend go to freedomfirstbeef.com. Stock up with as much beef as you can. It's freeze-dried. It'll last you up to 25 years, probably even more when I was talking with Jason Nelson about that. So if you guys go to freedomfirstbeef.com, use promo code Jeff15. You guys get 15% off of anything over there. Again, that's freedomfirstbeef.com. Okay, without further ado, we are bringing on our guest for today, good friend of mine, Ann Vandersteel. Welcome to the show. Glad we can sit down and chat for a bit.
Hey, Jeff, good to see you. Also, member of the Freedom First Network.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yes, you know, it's an honor to have you a part of it. It's been fun, you know, being able to, you know, stream your stuff and, you know, get it posted onto, you know, all the audio and the Apple Podcasts and all that kind of stuff.
Because love it.
More people need this information, and you're doing some deep dives into the stuff that people need to really be hearing about.
Well, you know what? It's how burnt out are you on like just constant crisis after rabbit hole? I mean, how many fingernails have you ladies broken? How many legs have you men broken, falling down these darn rabbit holes? It's just like one thing after another. And I feel like we're chasing stuff all over the place. But meanwhile, our sovereignty is being stolen every minute of every day. And nobody's paying attention to how we're going to get past that hurdle and what you're going to do when in fact they finally own it all and you own nothing. Are you going to be happy? That's the question.
Oh yeah, and that's one of those things where too, for me, I've been kind of shifting my attention a lot. You know, for the last couple of years, I've been going deep down into all the rabbit holes, right? And it was when we were just up in Vegas, you know, last week, I sat down with Mindy Robinson, who's a good friend of mine, and we went deep down the rabbit holes, you know, in an interview with her. But on the show, I've been really trying to focus on, yes, we need to expose what's going on. But we need to be exposing things that we can actually do something about. Because I find that a lot of people, they're talking about things and I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't know what to do with this information. Whereas like when we talk about things, you know, whether it's any kind of anything with the COVID jabs or with the illegal immigration or whatever it is, I'm always asking, okay, so what can we do about it? Because to me, it's like we're past the point of just exposing things. We got to expose and then figure out what do we do with this information?
Yeah. Well, again, it's what are we the people going to do? I don't care who comes into office, whether it's President Trump, who is awesome, but he's one man. He can't do it all. He can executive order things and he can write that ship that way. But as soon as he's done with his 4 years of presidency, somebody else comes in and unravels all that. We just saw what Joe Biden did. And that's how you run a company, right? It's basically, you know, a dictator. You have the president of a company and they set the tone, the pace, the whatever for the actual organization. And if you work for a company and they say wear a yellow tie on Tuesdays because it's mandated for your job, you wear the yellow tie. And that's what we've learned, is that we're all members of this corporation of the United States of America by opting into the U.S. citizenship. And so one of the things you can do is opt out of that, you know, strip that moniker off of your title, take, you know, correct your status, go back to being just an American. And that was what America was, the great experiment. That's what we were before we became U.S. citizens in 1868. And that's when things really went sideways. And people are just now starting to realize that rights don't come from the government. They come from God. Privileges come from the government, but the privilege of something has to be funded. And all of our privileges that have been extended to us by the government, whether it's Social Security, welfare, student loans, what have you, disaster relief, is underfunded. And they're just printing money by a private bank. And we, the people, are paying the interest on that money that's being printed. We're now going into interest payments of $1 trillion per year. This is like insanity. And we keep doing the same things over and over, expecting a different outcome. So it's time for the people to take action. And, you know, again, I've been on the border for a month under Operation Burning Edge, and we have learned a ton. And we're learning more and more about their operation, what they're doing, their fifth generation warfare to take over our country and scuttle the great America that we are, which will be the last stand to defend the rest of the world from true tyranny. So while we've been doing all that, I've also been saying, what's the solution to this? And I'm just, you know, I'm sick of talking about problems. The movie sucks. You know, people say, watch the movie, you know, patriots are in control. No, patriots aren't in control. We have to get in control, Jeff. We've got to put the popcorn down, and we've got to engage in our civic duty. So, you know, I'm going to let you decide which way you want to go. If you want to talk some more problems and what I've seen and then where I think we need to go. But, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm sort of whoop up to here with problems.
Oh, and that's one of the things I really wanted to dive into, you know, kind of what you saw and what you learned on your trip down at the border for the last month. Because I can only imagine, especially with getting bits and pieces of watching your show and, you know, over the last month and seeing a lot of your reporting. It's interesting for me talking about illegal immigration, whether it's on the show or personally with friends, I realize most people have no clue what's going on down there. Like the arguments that you hear in the mainstream media and the conversations, it's like it's about jobs, and yes, that's important. Or it's about you know crime. Yes, that's important. But like the things that are going down there on the border, especially when it comes to the behavior of the cartels, what they're doing, it's absolutely horrific. Can you kind of explain some of the things that you learned about what's the real story about what's going on down there on the border?
Well, the real story is the American taxpayer is paying to import illegals across our border. We're paying non-governmental organizations to finance the transmission, or should we say the transportation, that's the word I'm looking for, transportation of illegals from all parts of the world through Central America right across our borders. That is the nut of it all. Now, what are those illegals bringing with them besides bad intentions? A lot of them, besides no ability to get real jobs in the city and having to go on welfare. They're bringing a massive tax burden. While the average American retired on Social Security gets about $1,400 a month on average, and illegals being paid $2,200 a month as their stipend to be here. So already we're upside down. They're getting paid more than we who have lived here and paid into the system. That's number one. Number two, these illegals, a lot of them have a criminal background. And they're members of gangs. We're importing that, and they're posing as children. And these non-governmental organizations are financing cartels and their coyotes, which is the human trafficking handlers, to import these people. And not only are they getting paid by our non-governmental organizations funded by you, the taxpayer, but also the individual who wants to be smuggled into the country because they think they're coming here for a better way of life. Their family is now financially burdened because they pay the cartel and they have a debt to that cartel. So whether it's forced labor or sex trafficking or child sex trafficking, they have a debt that they must pay back to that coyote or that cartel member. They're bringing in disease. You're seeing multi-drug resistant tuberculosis rise, you know, spike. In fact, we're seeing a lot more tuberculosis and a whole host of other diseases that are coming in. What's really disconcerting about the TB, the tuberculosis, Jeff, is the fact that it doesn't have a real safe, an easy way to solve that problem. But worse than that, it jumps from person to animal. So a lot of these migrants that know how to do works and know how to work in agricultural or farming are getting jobs in the dairy and the beef industry, and they're transmitting tuberculosis, whether they're symptomatic or not, to the cows. And these cows must be slaughtered immediately once it's discovered. So you're seeing our food supply decimated because tens of thousands of herds of cattle are being slaughtered on the regular. Texas at risk of losing its TB-free status as a cattle exporter. This is very serious. You and I both know a beef supplier, and they're telling me that prices of beef are going up 30% in October. And here's the reason why, because they're slaughtering cattle. In addition to cattle just dying unexpectedly, in addition to cattle getting these mRNA injections, which you don't want to eat that stuff. So you're seeing that aspect of it. But what's even more terrifying is the electorate that is going to be the voting electorate that is going to be handed driver's licenses when they come across the border, and now they can register to vote, the motor voter laws. So we are changing the face of our country. The establishment does not need to worry about hijacking elections in another 5 years, because they will have basically injected the voting electorate that will be dependent on the welfare of the government. So they're changing the entire, you know, face of our republic by inserting the voters that they can ensure will vote Democrat. It's really, it's very, very disconcerting. It's very upsetting. And you've got countries like Panama, which has more people coming from Venezuela now moving into their country and through that aren't even Venezuelans, because Venezuela has got a deal with Iran where the Venezuelan ambassador to Iran is rubber stamping passports. So anybody coming from Iran to Venezuela gets a Venezuelan passport and can pass off as a Venezuelan. So we're taking these people, and we would never just import Iranians in our country, but we'll take Venezuelans. So we have a lot to be concerned about with what's happening at the border. But again, this goes right back to, we don't have honest elections. We have corrupt criminals running the government and setting the border policies. We're seeing, you know, governors like Abbott, while they do a lot of this sort of moving peas and carrots around the plate, i.e. putting up floating blocks in the Rio Grande, stuff that doesn't really do anything but except forces people to enter into our country into certain spots where Customs and Border Protection work with Catholic charities and other NGOs to import these children into the system. And then Abbott does for a PR stunt, busing people around the country. Well, he's busing tuberculosis and lice around the country and bringing, you know, typhus and TB everywhere. This is serious. It's a crisis right now, Jeff. And who is the human toll? You know, who's paying for all this? You and I are paying, but these people's lives are expendable. This is just, you know, part of the deal for the art of war for these demons. It's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, well, and I think it's so important to remember, and I'm glad that you're making this point too, that it is our tax dollars that are funding this crisis. Because I think The way that most people perceive the problem of illegal immigration is that there's the problem of illegal immigration, and the real problem is just our government's not doing enough to stop it. It's like, no, it's not only that they're not stopping it, they're actively promoting it and ensuring that it happens. And it's happening in multiple ways. I mean, you're dealing obviously with collusion between our government and the cartels to a certain degree, but then you're also dealing with our government and the collusion with the CCP in China, who are then sending fentanyl and drugs and money down to the cartels that are then smuggling across the border. And it's this vicious cycle, I feel like, that just keeps going around, and everybody's patting each other's back, filling each other's bank accounts and things along those lines. And all of this is coming out of our dime, as our dollars are getting devalued every single day, our taxes are constantly going up, and our government is just more corrupt every single day. And this is the important thing that people need to remember. This is not just our government's not doing enough. This is our government is actually making this happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's part of their plan. It's part of the World Economic Forum plan. Make no bones about it. When we were in McAllen, Texas, our whole intention of Operation Burning Edge, Jeff, was to start in Brownsville, Texas, where SpaceX is, and go west all the way to California. That was the intention. We were going to catalog and document everything we saw and learned along the border. Well, we didn't get very far. I mean, day one, we were seeing illegal immigration. We were seeing drug smuggling. It was very obvious. And we watched Customs and Border Protection do zero except facilitate it all. Okay. And that's because Joe Biden on January 10th of this year, 2023, signed the Declaration of North America, the acronym being DNA. I got to believe it's a hat tip to the clot shot, but whatever. Changing the DNA of our country, essentially, right? By importing these people. And of course, what does this DNA do? The declaration now homogenizes Canada, the United States, and Mexico, making us one big hemisphere, one big region, no borders. And it's all about migrating people into the United States, and you and me paying for it, and everybody watching this paying for it. It has nothing to do with anything else about making a better way of life for anybody. In fact, it's quite the crisis. I saw nothing but deplorable, poverty-stricken border towns everywhere I went. And across the water, across the Rio Grande, Mexico looked better. This is how sad it has become along a border town in USA. It's just, it's very, very disturbing. But in McAllen, Texas, where Governor Abbott came and spoke at a small business summit, the mayor of McAllen spent some time talking to Michael Yon about how excited he was, and so was Governor Abbott, about the tax receipts going up by a significant portion in McAllen, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley is thriving with businesses, and how the mayor of McAllen was boasting about paving over agriculture, paving over farms, because he can get more money in tax receipts by commercial and retail real estate versus agriculture land that feeds our country. We're talking about farmers with 4,000 plus acres that have, you know, food distribution all over the United States into major supermarket chains all over this country. And what's happening? These same farmers are now buying land in Mexico across the river, farming over there and importing it into the country because it's less expensive. That's right. No longer is it made in America. And so this is what McAllen, Texas is talking about. This is what the World Economic Forum is talking about literally destroying the United States of America so that we are one region. And again, they're importing the replacement population because they don't need you and I out here. They can replace us with artificial intelligence, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, and that's to me seems like the play here, because when you think about it, a lot of times what happens is you have illegal, and I know this because I've got a lot of friends that are actually illegals that, you know, because I grew up in Arizona. So I grew up around all of this. Right. And so Right. Like, I know that a lot of times the illegals that are sneaking across the border, they'll go work in those agricultural jobs because, you know, they're working out in the fields. They can go undocumented. They can work under the table. They get paid cash. But the problem is, obviously, they get paid less than minimum wage because they have no bargaining power. There's all this stuff. But then when you're talking about, okay, so we're basically taking away the agricultural land. Now we're importing all these people with no jobs to give them. What are they dependent on? Now you're dependent upon the government. Again, like you said, all pushing us towards this Great Reset World Economic Forum agenda where, you know, again, we're completely reliant upon the government and artificial intelligence. Like, to me, it makes perfect sense when you're piecing everything together.
Yeah. And again, it also plays right into the depopulation agenda, right? So again, you start getting rid of our food supply with, you know, drug resistant tuberculosis, and you have to slaughter cattle, start forcing us to eat bugs, you know, Bill Gates, the vaccines to control population, Bill Gates, the Georgia Guidestones, there's too many useless eaters on the planet, on and on and on. You can start to see the real picture. They are manifesting this, and now they're using climate change, climate change, climate change. And I think what we just saw in Hawaii, what we're seeing happen in Canada that's getting not reported at all, except on social media, you can find, you know, snippets on Instagram and TikTok of wildfires out of control, over 800 fires in Canada. And yet, I know people that own aviation companies. In fact, I know somebody who owns the largest aviation company for fire suppression. They have contracts with the military in countries around the world in Alberta, Canada. Do you think they're putting out one fire right now, Jeff?
I highly doubt it.
Huh. I wonder why. So again, what do we learn in Maui? Okay, so Maui had a really strange wildfire that seemed to burn no trees or anything blue for that matter. A couple of months before the fire, green lasers were seen in the sky, and there's mapping technology that uses green layers over topography and can map out very specific areas of geography and topography. Next thing you know, you have these crazy fires that are very selective in what they torched, and torched at a very high temperature, I might add, with meanwhile sparing trees and anything blue, like plastic blue cars next to regular cars 10 feet away that completely melted from the heat. It just makes no sense. Then you also learn that in December of last year, the federal government, Congress, in fact, signed into law. In fact, I have it, and I could even put it on the screen if you want to, a Community Disaster Resilient Zone Act. What is this about? The Community Disaster Resilience Zones Act of 2022? Well, very simply, Jeff, it's about looking and assessing at the vulnerability of certain areas and getting ready for anything that might happen. I'm sort of giving you a high level view of what that's about. Then you have FEMA, which puts out its National Risk Index, and they have a map about the National Risk Index. And if you look at this map, it's color coordinated. And while most of the map is in blue, you have all the really hot spots that are seen to be coastal and high density areas. Maui was one of them. And the hottest, very high risk index color is red. So you have Maui in orange and red, South Florida, same thing, Southern California, same thing. Oddly, where all the minerals are in Nevada, same thing, really strange, right? But again, this is a FEMA risk index map for natural disasters. And then you overlay it with what happened in Hawaii in terms of proclamations. So in Hawaii, they started putting out a bunch of wildfire proclamations about what would happen if there were wildfires. And it was really strange how they had six of those. And then they had several proclamations about homelessness. And there was one that was posted in July, just before the wildfires. And what happened in these proclamations is that it suspended a bunch of laws in these proclamations with relating to homelessness. So if there was anything that created the homeless situation, all sorts of things like, taxes for people who are building low-income housing, all sorts of stuff that would basically cater to somebody coming in and replacing anything in an area and erecting low-income, high-density homes. Again, in the same vein of you'll own nothing and be happy. So it's really strange when you start to look at all the government action that's been taking place over the past, 6 or 8 months. And then you start to look at the catastrophe and you wonder, how coincidental is that we would have all these things set up perfectly so that if something like a wildfire would happen and you need to rebuild, you can't rebuild in the historic footprint. You must rebuild in this other new footprint that will address the problem of homelessness. Because frankly, what did they create with the wildfires? Homelessness. So, but it has nothing to do with protecting the historic nature of any of the structures. It has all to do with rebuilding. And whoever gets in on that ground floor is going to cash out like a king. So I got to tell you, if this doesn't tell you that your government is at war with we the people, frankly, I don't know, Jeff, what will.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the thing that people really need to wake up about, because I've been researching and diving into all these different, catastrophes and issues that we're facing. And I feel like there's very few, if any, where I'm not finding some sort of government involvement in the very foundation of it. Whether we're talking Maui, we're talking illegal immigration, we're talking about what's going on between Russia and Ukraine, we're talking about COVID itself. Even going as far back to 9/11, I've got an interview that I pre-recorded with Dr. Michael Scheuer, former CIA guy. His job was to track Osama bin Laden, and we had a really interesting conversation about his views on what happened on 9/11. He's like, I keep going back to Building 7. Why did Building 7 go down? He's like, you know what I mean? He's like, I cannot make a legitimate argument as to why that building would have gone down outside of, human governmental interference, right? And that's a former CIA guy talking right here. So when you're looking at all of these things, if you took the government out of it, when you think about it, would we even have had any of these tragedies happen at all? Like when you start thinking about it from that perspective, we would be in a much more peaceful nation than we are right now.
Yeah, Jeff, anytime government gets involved, let's just kind of catalog the names of some of the agencies, shall we? Department of Education. Let's see, they've really just rewritten all the textbooks and gotten rid of any of the pertinent history. It's more like the Department of Indoctrination. Environmental Protection Agency, East Palestine, anyone? I mean, we can just start there and go down the list. There is no protection for the environment. The Center for Disease and Control, CDC, called the Center for Disease and Construction, Corruption, excuse me. Of course, the District of Corruption, as I call Washington, D.C. And then look at the FDA frauds, DBs, and you know what holes. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There's nothing in these agencies, Jeff, that actually resemble what the title would suggest it's supposed to do. It has the exact opposite consequence of what the intention is supposed to be by the name only. And then, of course, anything coming out of Congress is not to benefit you or me. It's to completely make sure that these people maintain their jobs. In fact, I suggest to you and your audience that we don't even listen to the federal government anymore, except to know what they have planned in store for us. But my God, do not follow any other suggestion, mandate, or law that they put forward, because I can guarantee you 99% of the laws that have been passed are unconstitutional on the face of them. And we need to challenge all of that. We need to go back to our roots as Americans before they hijacked this country and made us U.S. citizens or municipal servants to a corporation that has not our best interest at heart at all. That corporation serves the cabal. Just like corporations today are serving their stakeholders, We are in the public-private partnership pits of hell right now. And if we haven't learned that from COVID in the last 3 years, and if we aren't acting accordingly to protect ourselves, our family, and our neighborhoods and getting local, then frankly, we deserve whatever comes our way because we're just plain stupid at this point.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad that you brought up the even the local aspect of it, because I think that is so important. I think it's a little bit different than the way that a lot of people will talk about it. I think a lot of people they'll say, okay, look, everything is so far gone that just forget everything else, only focus local. And I kind of look at it from a slightly different perspective of obviously we need to be completely self-sufficient because AI is coming, going to take away all the jobs. And you know, if you don't take Elon Musk's brain implant chip that's going to go in your head and give you access to the internet immediately, if you're not going to do that, then you're going to actually be at a disadvantage if you're trying to be participating in the mainstream economy. So we need to start developing our own, you know, basically local economies, self-sufficient, not reliant upon anybody else. But here's the thing, though, is that the local government, and this is the thing that most people forget, the local government is supposed to be taking a stand against the federal government. That's why the sheriffs are so important. That's why the county board of supervisors are so important. That's why the states are so important. And they're all kind of foregoing this under this false assumption that federal government trumps local. It's supposed to be the exact opposite, but right. We need to hold our local officials accountable enough to be able to say, look, we don't recognize your authority, federal government, in this area, this area, this area, because you're violating the United States Constitution.
You're right. And that's where tacticalcivics.com comes in. Big shout out to Christy. Christy, I see she's in the chat right now. She's a moderator from my channel. She's awesome, by the way. You're blessed to have her in your chat at the moment. But again, tacticalcivics.com. I encourage your audience to go and check out tacticalcivics.com. Why? Because this is that local action solution. This is a very constitutional approach to a problem that we're challenged with right now, where if you read our Declaration of Independence, what happened to my coffee? It's usually sitting right here on my desk. If you read the Declaration of Independence, you know that there's a time when the tyrants become unbearable and we need to alter or abolish our government. And the government we have working right now is not working for us. They're working for them. They're not even public servants. They are corporate schlub employees. So we need to get very serious with an age-old solution called grand juries and militias. Now, let me just explain what that means before the FBI runs in here and slides in my DMs and tells me to meet them in DC for an interview. A grand jury is run by citizens. A citizen grand jury takes a look at evidence that either they dug up or was presented to them by somebody else, and they determine whether the evidence warrants an indictment of whoever the individual or co-conspirators are. If an indictment or indictments, plural, are handed down from a citizen grand jury, they need to be presented to your county sheriff. Now, your county sheriff may or may not be a good constitutional sheriff, but if they're not and they won't arrest these people that need to be arrested by the citizen grand jury, then you need to go to your Second Amendment militia. That is the enforcement arm of the citizen grand jury. This is how it's been done for 1,000 years. You don't even have to be a rocket scientist. Pull up an old Western movie and you see how you have sheriffs that are picked by the towns, and the sheriff will deputize people in the town to ride with him to go and deal with whatever the problem is, wherever the problem's at. So this is an age-old solution. And that is your militia, okay? That is your enforcement arm. If you know somebody did something wrong, you have to enforce it. Then you take over the courts in your local county and you say, we're going to stand up a court of, by and for the people, with Sixth Amendment juries of the, you know, by the people, for the people. This is a jury of their peers. Try them in court. The town, the community must come together and put pressure on your county prosecutor to say, look, the grand jury found so-and-so guilty. They've been indicted. We need you to prosecute in court. They go to court and that indicted individual gets his fair shake in court. If he is found guilty, then of course the appropriate punishment phase, equivalent to whatever the crime is, needs to be implemented. It's that simple. We don't have that operating anywhere in our country right now, Jeff. Nowhere. We have had all of our courts taken over. We have no Article III courts working for the people. They're all courts of commerce and they're Article I courts, which don't serve the people at all. They serve the corporation of the United States, which is more concerned, or the county, the corporate county, or the corporate municipality, whatever it is, more concerned with their corporate bylaws than they are with standing on the law of the land, which is the Constitution. They're two totally different things, Constitution, and then you have administrative law. They're not the same. The Constitution is the highest law of the land for the people. All this other stuff over here is for running a company.
Yeah. Now, Christy actually just asked in the notes that she said, can you go after their bonds in this situation? I've heard multiple yes. people talk about this. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Mickey Klon is an expert at this. She has talked about this for several years. I highlighted her a couple of years ago at a Reawaken in Dayton, Ohio. I remember this because I was with Dr. Zelenko at the time. Yes. Your public servant is bonded and they have an insurance policy as well. You can go after and do a Freedom of Information Act request for a copy of their bond, and you can get a copy of their insurance policy. And if you find them doing something wrong, then you can absolutely file a claim against their bond. And guess what? That public servant may or may not know that their, what is it called when you have an insurance, your, not deposit, what's it called when you have to pay your...
Almost like a deductible or
deductible. Thank yes, you. I'm yes. sorry. I'm right out of my head. I could hear my dog barking, so it was very distracting. That deductible is actually owed by the individual who is bonded. So if they get a claim for their bond and that deductible has to be paid and that bond is say $10 million, that deductible could be $100,000. It could be $1 million. They are personally liable. So if they don't have insurance to cover that deductible, oh, well, Mr. or Mrs. Public Servant, corporate employee is more like it, that can bankrupt people. So if you and I and 10 of our friends all get together and file claims against public servants bond, and there's a $10 million bond, that's 10 times 10, that's $100 million in claims. You see how this can set people straight real fast? And they're gonna be like, holy crap, I don't wanna teach CRT in the classroom anymore because I have 10 parents who are threatening to file claims on the bond and I'm the superintendent of schools. So this is how it was supposed to work. I highly encourage people to get educated on this and start pursuing it. And it's not complicated. It's literally letter writing. You become a paper terrorist, like the FBI said, a paper terrorist. Big deal, a paper terrorist. Are you serious? Get with the program, people.
Yeah. So, I mean, so realistically, like when we're talking about the takeaway from all of this, is that the takeaway, the application to like even what we're talking about today of, you know, being able to go after the bonds of these, you know, public servants of, you know, organizing locally, like is that the game plan and the roadmap that we need to be following if we're going to turn things around in the country?
I absolutely believe that's the game plan and the roadmap, but I also believe that there's people that is too far gone. Fauci is a criminal. He needs to be dealt with as a war crimes criminal. Anybody who's pushing Fauci protocols, companies that manufactured remdesivir. In fact, there was a state court in Michigan who found the manufacture of remdesivir, which was that deadly toxin that was put in IVs into people in hospitals on ventilator. It was found by the WHO in 2018 during the Ebola trials to be very toxic, and they discontinued the trial of it, and they wrote it off, said we would never use this, but Fauci said, oh, that's great, we'll take it for COVID. And he murdered millions of people in hospitals using remdesivir and then ventilators to completely just destroy their lungs. But anyway, that being said, Fauci, people like that need to be dealt with as war crimes criminals. Bonds ain't gonna cut it, baby. They need to have grand juries. They need to be indicted. And frankly, when you've committed Nuremberg level crimes, you need to be put to death. That's capital punishment. That is an offense at that level. And that's where Fauci needs to be held accountable.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think, you know, then I think the, you know, kind of final thing I just wanted to throw out there a little bit as well is we're looking at, you know, heading into 2024, obviously we're dealing with presidential elections, but we're also dealing with, you know, all sorts of local elections and governors and states and congresspeople and all that kind of stuff. And I think specifically when it comes to the COVID jabs, that's one of those things where I feel like I don't really see any Republican leadership really taking a strong stance on this. Like some of them are trying to kind of dip their toe in the pond a little bit, but realistically it's like we need to shut this thing down. We need to get this thing off the market. We need to start going after people and prosecuting them for crimes against humanity and actually treat this like a bioweapon, not just as a vaccine gone wrong. And you know, so when we're looking at it from that perspective, I mean, do you see anybody out there right now that is actually handling this in the right way?
No, although I am encouraged by this. I mean, besides people like yourself, Dr. Jane Ruby, and others, Todd Callender, who've been talking about this as a bioweapon, you know, Brian Hardest, Tom Renz, you know, there's a whole host of colleagues that understand what this is. They've looked into the ingredients. They fully understand this stuff was never meant for human consumption. And we still, Dr. David Martin really comes to mind, right? He's been one of the early pioneers of explaining all the Title 18 USC codes that this violated and the people implementing this violated and the Department of Defense involved in all this. But President Trump most recently has been talking about, we will not comply. Sorry, I didn't even realize my phone was on. Is that my phone or your phone ringing?
Not mine, no.
Oh, you know, it's my iPad ringing, and I don't even know why my iPad's ringing because I have no idea it could even do that.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to make is that we need to actually, I'm sorry, I got to turn this off. Jeff, I am so sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
I bet you it's Michael Yon calling me. It is Michael Yon. I'm just going to tell him I can't talk to him. Michael, I'm live right now. I'll have to call you back. I'm really sorry. So anyway, I'm sorry about that.
You're good.
But we're getting ready to go to Panama, so he's very busy keeping me busy with all kinds of stuff. But let's see. I forgot where I was going. Where were we talking about? I got so distracted trying to turn that off.
So like you were beginning to talk about, you know, President Trump, especially in regards to the
President
vaccines
Trump,
and all that.
He's actually now talking about the fact that we will not comply. We will not mask up. We're not going to be forced vaccinated. But I heard him more recently even saying, look, I'm starting to hear some things are not so great. We're going to have to look into this. And he's talking about the vaccines. So if he's actually, you know, now hearing the people who are at a deafening roar at this point saying, we'll not take another jab. We're not going to mask up. You're not going to quarantine us and lock us down. He's listening. And that's all you can really ask of your public servant is to listen and hear the people. So for some, this may be too late because they've lost loved ones or they themselves have been injured. For others, like all of us who didn't take the jab, we're just like, hello, where have you been? But also we have to take into account he was massively lied to. He was massively surrounded by a bunch of establishment people who had an agenda. And of course, DeSantis was part of that agenda for him to capitalize and stand up his grand jury that has gone nowhere. So, you know, it's not up to the public servants. So we're seeing these corporate people, the people that work for the corporations for the state of Florida and for the United States government, they're not going to come to our rescue. We have to do this ourselves, which is why tactical civics is the we the people solution. Yeah. And, you know, just like in the 1800 movies when they, you know, rounded up and they went and got the bad guy and then they did a public trial and they either walked away or got hung in the street. I'm not suggesting violence, Jeff. I'm just saying there is a way to do this with decorum and we just need to take matters into our hands. The people have got to take back the government because we are the government, not the people we elect. We're the government. We set the pace. We tell the people that we elect to go execute what we want. Yeah. And that's the mindset we have to get into the people.
Yeah. Well, and I think even going back a little bit to President Trump and the fact that he's finally beginning to hear some of us when you think about it. And, you know, I know for me, you know, I've been pretty critical of him and how he's handled COVID and the jabs and the, you know, and the fact that, you know, he gave Fauci an award and like all these different kinds of things. I've been very critical and I've gotten a lot of crap from a lot of people in the MAGA movement, but I've been the whole time. I'm like, I want what's best for Trump and I want what's best for us as the American people. But if we just pretend like he's not wrong on this, then he's just going to continue down that path. And that's why it's so important that even if we like the guy, even if we're voting for the guy, even if we're supporting the guy, we still have to dissent when he's in error. And I think that this is a perfect example of that. Our dissent has now led him to realize, crap, maybe I need to start rethinking this, because whether it's for political motivations, maybe it's just the truth and he's realizing, crap, I was lied to, all sorts of things. But he wouldn't have gotten to this point if people like yourself and a lot of these other doctors weren't out there causing a ruckus and really waking people up to this important issue.
Yeah, and again, it just, you know, Jeff, you and I can be victims of the same thing, right? Because we have our little echo chamber.
Yeah.
We feel that we fully understand 90% of what's happening. There's 10% we don't know because you just don't know what's coming. But in terms of contextually speaking, I think you and I have a pretty good handle on what the agenda is of the bad guys. But what we're not addressing is what needs to be the agenda of the good guys. And it not, can't be in a responsive, reflexive action. It has to be in a proactive, how are we supposed to be running our country? How are we supposed to be running our lives? And it starts with God first, country and family, right? We have to get these things in order. We have to start focusing on this relationship right here so that we can deal with what's going on out here. And, you know, these are the types of things that have been tossed from the vernacular of our school system and of government. They've taken God out of everything. And we need to bring that back in. I credit Mike Lindell when he says this time period will be the greatest revival for God and Jesus. He's right, because people are coming to conclusions like, how in the hell did we get here? And why are there so many demons around us? Well, it's because we tossed God out of the equation. And so we're a little lopsided right now. We need to bring that back. And I think that we can do that. I think we can be proactive. I think we need to control what's going on in our homes, have a better handle, make sure our families have food, a roof over our head, and that we now focus on how we're going to take back the local government. Because like a sweater, local governments all over the country, you knit them together, you have a beautiful sweater. But as soon as one disappears, you have a hole in your sweater. We have lost our local governments all over the country. We need to stand those back up locally, get control of it. I'm going to go to Naples tomorrow. In fact, they actually passed an ordinance, a resolution, and they made Collier County in Naples a sanctuary county all around medical sovereignty and body, medical freedom and body sovereignty. So nobody, not the government or the WHO, can come into Collier County and tell them they have to be injected, masked, or quarantined ever again. Because Collier County got together and said, we've had enough.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Oh, no, yeah. And that shows the effectiveness and what organizing on a local level. And it, yes, it's important to show up in D.C., you know, if the times call for it. But also, it's even more important to show up locally, because you can begin to do something like they did there in Collier County. And you could do that in your local city. Like, we could do that out here in Communist California, because there's plenty of very hardcore conservative cities out here where we could actually begin to take a stand. So I think that's the mentality that we need to begin to have. So I want to close out, and I want to give you the chance to tell everybody, you know, how they can tune into your show, when and where you're airing, all that kind of stuff, so that way they can get more info from you.
Well, thank you so much. So I am live streamed at 8:00 Eastern on the Brighteon Network. So Brighteon TV is where you can find me. You can go to rightnow.news. I'm also podcasted on the Freedom First Network, so you can find all of my shows in a podcast format. Thank you so much, Jeff Dornick, for that awesome opportunity. And then you can find me on my Rumble channel if you go to rumble.com. And you look up Anne Vandersteel, all one word, you should find my new Rumble account there. My other one got taken out by a troll. We'll just leave it at that. Christy knows the story, I believe. She loves trolls. And then also Operation Burning Edge. This is a big deal. I'm at Anne Vandersteel on all social medias, on CloudHub, on Getter, on Twitter. Operation Burning Edge needs support, because we are traveling to Panama, and we self-fund this, by the way, Jeff. So, you know, whatever we take in terms of, you know, donations, it helps really fund that operation. And it's not cheap to go to Panama and get in helicopters and fly over and show the world what is going on with these migrant camps that Department of Homeland Insecurity is funding with your tax dollars to the tune of millions and billions of dollars, along with these NGOs that are also taxpayer funded, billions and billions of dollars to import people from all over the world into our country by the millions. It takes quite an effort. I have a ton of gear that is showing up at my house so that we can provide satellite phone uplinks so that we can broadcast live from down there and all kinds of. This stuff is not cheap, and we have wonderful sponsors that help facilitate this, like satellite phone store. And for those people, if you go to ann123.com, we have satellite phone specials, free phones. So we want to give a shout out to our sponsor there. But go to Operation Burning Edge, and you can get us at givesendgo.com/burningedge. givesendgo.com/burningedge is where people can support. We appreciate it.
Of course, and I'll post that link in the show notes. That way people can just click there, go on over there. But Anne, I always appreciate our conversations. I really appreciate you coming on, taking the time to explain all this, because these kinds of conversations, I think more people need to hear, because, you know, people like yourself, you're doing the research, you're figuring out what's the truth, what's false, what's really going on. And I really appreciate you coming on and explaining all this.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate all your work. And again, thank you for the Freedom First podcast opportunity. That's huge.
Of course. No, I'm honored that you're a part of the Freedom First family. So everybody, make sure you guys are going over and subscribing, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever it is, to her show right now. So you guys can do that. And I appreciate you, everybody else as well. Make sure that you guys are subscribing to this show. Obviously, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Rumble. Go to my Substack, jeffdornick.substack.com. Get all of my shows, articles, interviews directly in your email inbox. And then finally as well, go to mypillow.com. Use promo code FFN. You guys get massive discounts over there. You guys are supporting Mike Lindell. trial MyPillow and Freedom First Network. So go over there to MyPillow.com, promo code FFN. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I truly, truly appreciate it. We shall catch you guys next time.